Dead Man's Grip by Peter James. Read by Jamie Glover.
On the morning of the accident, Carly had forgotten to set the alarm and overslept. She woke with a bad hangover, a damp dog crushing her, and the demented pounding of drums and cymbals coming from her son's bedroom. To add to her gloom, it was pelting with rain outside. She had a chiropody appointment for a painful corn, and a client she loathed would be in her office in just over 2 hours. It was going to be one of those days when things just kept on getting worse. Like the drumming.
"Tyler!" she yelled. "For Christ's sake, stop that! Are you ready?"
The drumming fell silent. She staggered to the bathroom. "I am so not a good example to my son," she thought.
"What's for breakfast, Mum?" Tyler called out.
She stared at herself in the bathroom mirror. Mercifully, most of her 41-year-old, and this morning going on 241-year-old, face was shrouded in a tangle of blonde hair that looked, at this moment, like matted straw.
"Arsenic!"
she shouted back, her throat raw from too many cigarettes last night.
"Laced with cyanide and rat poison!" "I had that yesterday!"
Tyler shouted back.
"Well, it didn't sodding work, did it?"
Stuart Ferguson sat high up in his cab, waiting impatiently for the lights to change. Rush hour traffic sluiced across Brighton's old Shoreham Road below him. The engine of his 16-wheel, 24-ton Volvo Fridgebox Arctic chunted away. He yawned, staring blearily at the vile morning, then took a long swig of Red Bull. He put the can into the cup holder, ran his clammy, meaty hands across his shaven head, then drummed them on the steering wheel to the beat of Bat Out of Hell. It was the fifth or maybe the sixth can he had drunk in the past few hours, and he was shaking from the caffeine overdose. But that and the music were the only things that were keeping him awake right now. He had started his journey yesterday afternoon and driven through the night from Aberdeen in Scotland. He'd been on the road for 18 hours, with barely a break other than a stop for food at Newport Pagnell Services, and a brief kip in a lay-by a couple of hours earlier. The traffic lights changed. He rammed the gear lever of the 4x4 splitter box forward, then headed down the hill towards the sea. He now had one final delivery to make. It was to the Tesco supermarket, in the Homebush Centre on the outskirts of the city. Then he would drive to the port of Newhaven, load up with frozen New Zealand lamb, snatch a few hours' sleep on the quay, and head back up to Scotland. To Jessie. He was missing her a lot. Ordinarily on this run, he would have taken a few hours out to get some proper kip and comply with the law on driver hours. But the refrigeration was on the blink, and he couldn't take the risk of ruining the valuable cargo of scallops, shrimps, prawns and salmon. So he just had to keep going. Tony nicknamed her Santa, because the first time they made love, that snowy December afternoon in his parents' house in the Hamptons, Susie had been wearing dark red satin underwear. He told her that all his Christmases had come at once. They had been smitten with each other since that day, so much so that Tony Revere had abandoned his plans to study for a business degree at Harvard, and instead had followed her from New York to England, and joined her at the University of Brighton. She raised a hand and gripped him, firmly but gently, below his belt buckle, then grinned as he gasped.
"Come back to bed."
"I am so not coming back to bed. You know what's going to happen if I don't get good grades this semester?"
"You know my mom."
"Uh-huh, I do. Scary lady."
"You said it.
Everyone's afraid of my mom." He leaned down and kissed her.
"You're gorgeous. Did I tell you that?"
"About 1,000 times.
"You're gorgeous too. Did I tell you that?"
"About 10,000 times, he said, hitching the straps of his lightweight rucksack over his shoulders.
"When will you be back?"
she said. "As soon as I can." He kissed her again, tugged a baseball cap onto his head, then wheeled his mountain bike out of the apartment, down the stairs, through the front door, and out into the cold, blustery April morning. As he closed the front door behind him, he breathed in the salty tang of the Brighton sea air, then looked at his watch. Shit. He was due to see his tutor in 20